We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Buffs Insider, our weekly podcast at CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Colorado men's basketball on Thursday night gave number 11 Arizona all it wanted, but the Buffs end up falling to the Wildcats 80-71 down in Tucson, Arizona. Joined by my broadcast partner, basketball broadcast, Buffs great Scott Wilkie. That had to be one of the best college basketball games I've seen in a long time. Now, the Buffs lose, certainly disappointing, but that was one heck of a game.
Certainly the best game we've seen this year, Mark. A lot of fun sitting courtside, a lot of fun broadcasting that game. And, you know, you can't fault the Buffs for effort or trying in every way they could. And gave Arizona everything they could handle. They made Arizona make plays to win that game.
First half, it was really kind of a tale of two halves. First half, great defense, I thought. Tied at 30 at the end of intermission. Buffs had a 12-point lead there in the first half. Arizona comes back, ties it at the intermission. It was really the first, what, 4 or 5 minutes of that second half. Both teams are shooting lights out. That's when Arizona pulled away. Now, the Buffs did make a run, but like we like to say a lot of times, it's easy to come back. It's tough to come back and win, at least especially against a team of that caliber.
Yeah, Arizona jumped out by 12, I believe, there, and really never relinquished the lead, although the Buffs cut it to 3 on several occasions, never got back to even or took the lead. And I really didn't feel like Colorado's play dropped off. I thought Arizona really raised their level throughout that game, and they had to beat the Buffs in that game.
Scotty, how about the way that in two ball games against Arizona, what Colorado and Tad Boyle's staff have done in terms of game planning, making it tough? Now DeAndre Ayton got his points, but they made it really hard for him to get his numbers and hard to get shots.
Yeah, they made it really difficult. He limited his touches, limited the shots he took, but he's just so talented. You know, you have to commit fouls sometimes just because if you don't, he's going to get a dunk or a putback or whatever. And I thought they really limited Alonzo Trier as well and made it difficult for him. He ended up with 23 too, but a lot of those came late in the game, three of them in particular on a late shot that he hit that was a difference factor in that game. But I thought the Buffs really couldn't play a much better game. But aside from a couple lapses, they really played well.
Colorado, after the ball game, by the way, jumped out of bus and drove up to Tempe, Arizona, where on Saturday, tomorrow, they take on Arizona State. That's a 6 o'clock ball game. Our coverage on the Colorado Basketball Network is underway at 5:30 with Bus Warm-Up, presented by Safeway. During that trip, just kind of looking at social media, Doug Gottlieb made the comment. He said 3 weeks ago, the Buffs didn't appear to be ready. He said Tad Boyle's did a phenomenal job kind of flipping a switch with his team. And really, after that Oregon trip, this has become a different basketball team. What do you think changed?
Well, George King started playing better, and he's playing really consistently the last couple weeks. And Tyler Bay has steadily improved throughout the season. He's hanging with some of the best players in the conference and even in the country right now. Doesn't put up big numbers, but we see him courtside, Mark. He's such a tough defender out there. He battles on every play. And I really think a couple of those guys have just elevated their play. And Dominic Collier has played well as well, you know, in conference play. So a few guys have just raised their level, and that's brought the Buffs with them.
Tyler Bay, you mentioned, because of Terry Miller-Stewart's injury, Evan Batty not being able to play this year, he's kind of been forced. I think he would have gotten minutes no matter what, but maybe he's playing more in the paint, guarding big bodies than maybe we expected. When you watch him and you see that learning curve kind of speeding up for him a little bit, you kind of get the sense, boy, the sky's the limit for him potentially, isn't it?
Can't wait to see him with another 15, 20 pounds and just kind of fill out, because he has such a tenacity about him on the defensive end and going after rebounds. And sometimes, you know, physics wins out, and when you're giving up 50 pounds, he gets moved from one spot to another. And, you know, but that's going to change next year and the year after. And I just think he's such a fighter, and he's so competitive, and I think he's a worker. So he's just going to keep it getting better. And that competitiveness, along with the improvement, is going to speak well for him down the road.
Do you think on the offensive end, again, we got a 21-game sample size at this point, do you think he's got potential on the offensive end?
You know, he's going to grow in that way well, too, but he's probably never going to be an 18-point scorer, but a guy that can count on to get 10 or 12, because he'll get junk buckets, or he'll get buckets just because of his athleticism, running the floor. You know, he'll get some of those, but I see him down the road averaging 14, 15 points, 6, 7 rebounds.
Speaking of youngsters, McKinley Wright obviously has been so good this season. When Pac-12 play got underway, we saw his offensive numbers drop a little bit. The assist numbers have been up there. Number two in the Pac-12 in assists, about 5.5 per ballgame. Had 7 last night in the loss to Arizona. You're starting to see him make the adjustments that we've talked about with him. You can see him growing and learning and evolving as the game goes on, as the weeks go on. He's starting to figure things out offensively as well, I think.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's a scouting report out on him, obviously, and bigger guards are kind of going at him, and he's learning how to deal with that. Last night against Arizona, we saw several cross-court 30-foot type passes where he's seeing he sees the roller and the defense roll the roll, and he's seeing weak side on the floor. So he's starting to understand how to play against these tall, long, you know, fast defenses that he hasn't seen before. And the turnovers have come back down. You know, he had a little period there where they're elevated, but now they're coming back down. And he doesn't have to score 20 a game, Mark. He can affect the games in a lot of different ways.
How about George King, though? You touched on him a moment ago. He had 22 points, 6 rebounds last night against Arizona. We're going to hear his post-game comments with us here in just a couple of minutes. But the shots there, there's an aggressiveness about him. He's, what, number 3 in the Pac-12 in rebounding right now. He's really kind of playing like you hope that a fifth-year senior is going to.
Yeah, I mean, the talent's always been there. And what we've seen the last few weeks, at least from my perspective, he's just kind of decided he's going to keep playing aggressively. He's not going to let a few shots deter him. He's going to keep being aggressive. He's taking more threes. And he just seems like he's more relaxed in some way, and been really good the last 3 weeks. And if he keeps playing this way and the other guys keep growing, you know, by the end of the year, look out for the Buffs come, like, tournament time.
And I'll say this, I completely concur with what you're saying. They've got to start getting more consistent productivity out of Naaman Wright. Last two ball games, both losses, Washington, Arizona, he's not been a factor.
No, and, you know, at Arizona he got in foul trouble, but you know, he just seemed out of sorts the last couple ball games, and he's in a place where George was a month ago, where, you know, letting a couple plays maybe play inside his head and affect how the next play happens. And, you know, he's too experienced of a guy to let that happen. He needs to keep looking forward, being aggressive, because when he's aggressive and using his athleticism and his speed, it really helps the Buffs.
How about this game coming up tomorrow now? Arizona State coming off an overtime loss to Utah last night. Nice win for the Utes. Totally different animal we're looking at here from what, you know, DeAndre Ayton, Dusan Ristich, the big bodies that Arizona has. Totally guard-oriented team. Buffs beat them here 3 weeks ago back in Boulder. How do you see this ballgame?
Well, I think ASU is maybe struggling with their confidence a little bit right now, which is a good thing. But there are a lot of team speed, a lot of perimeter offense, and you have to be able to move your feet and defend that three-point line, because they can get hot in a hurry. They've been struggling compared to what they were, you know, in December, early January. But you know, a team like that, if they get it, they see a few shots go in, it can snowball for their in their way. So you got to really get out on the 3-point line and move your feet on those guards.
Certainly wouldn't be nice for the Buffs to get a split on this road trip after losing last night 80-71 to number 11 Arizona, now tomorrow at number 21 Arizona State. After this, though, here the Buffs sit at 4-5 right now. Yeah, they got a great opportunity against the Sun Devils. Very home-heavy down the stretch here. You and I are going to the season. We're talking, can they get to 9? Can they possibly get to 10? They've really got an opportunity here.
Yeah, if they could get a win tomorrow against Tempe, Arizona State, 3 games at home in a row, potentially you could get to 8-5 there going into that last road trip. Washington State's been struggling lately. That's a possible win on the road. So we're talking about, I predicted 8-10. You said 9-9, maybe 10. They could even surpass both of our predictions if they get hot here at the end of the year.
Well, certainly it's going to be interesting. Buffs fall, though, last night at Arizona, the 11th-rated Wildcats, 80-71, gave Arizona all it wanted. George King at 22 points and 10 rebounds for the Buffaloes. He was our player of the game and joined us after the broadcast.
Yeah, high-level game. Arizona is a great team, even better, especially when they're at home. It came down to rebound and defending. I think we did a good job of that overall. They beat us at the free throw line. That was the difference in the game. You know, I think we played hard as a team, so I'm not mad at that. But, Arizona's a good team. They came out with the win tonight.
Yeah, without question. George, what was the difference in the first half to the second half? The defense in the first half, shooting numbers are down below 40%. In the second half, both teams shot 69%. Was that just better offense, do you think, for both teams in the second half?
Yeah, talented offensive teams. Sometimes offense is going to beat defense. It's going to beat defense, excuse me. Yeah, I think exactly that. I agree with that. I think that's exactly what it was. Yes, sir.
Do you come out of this game? How do you feel about this one? Playing as hard as you did, but still coming out with a loss against a top 15 team.
Let's just be honest. I mean, a loss is a loss. You're never happy with a loss. We still lost. We lost the game, and we're upset about that. But one thing we can't live with is that we fought. You know, one thing that you hate. And coaches hate and players hate when you come out and you kind of just roll over and then you get beat. We didn't roll over tonight. You know, they had to beat us tonight, and that's what they were able to do. So, a loss is a loss. So we're not happy with it or anything like that. Don't make no mistake.
Georgia, as a fifth-year guy, as an older guy that's been around for a while, when you see what Tyler Bay is doing, the way he's growing out there, and you see what McKinley's able to do, what's your thoughts on some of those young fellas?
You know, the future's bright for Colorado basketball, and I'm excited to obviously it's my last year, but I'm excited to continue to watch, this program for years on end, and I know it's in good hands.
So you got a day off, and then another big one against the top 25 team against Arizona State. Give us a thought about that one on Saturday.
Totally different team. Arizona is a team that really try to pounce it inside. You know, with their two big guys, Arizona State plays with shooters on the perimeter. You know, and that's being a Pac-12 is a quick turnaround. So tomorrow we'll practice, we'll watch film, and we'll try to come out and beat the Sun Devils.
Tough one here today, but nice game.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, George King led the Buffaloes in the loss 80-71 at number 11 Arizona last night. 22.6 rebounds, had himself an outstanding ball game. Really, the Buffaloes overall played very well against Arizona. That's one thing, as Tad Boyle joined us on the post game of the Colorado Basketball Network, that the head coach could not fault was his team's effort.
I told our guys in the locker room, Mark, I can live with this kind of effort, you know, and if we would have played like this Saturday in the Coors Event Center, it would have been a different story. But our guys battled. They really fought. And, other than the first 4 minutes of that second half, that's where the game kind of slipped away from us. But after that, we really battled them. We played well enough offensively to win this game. But, again, we couldn't get stops in the second half when we needed to. But, again, our guys' effort. There's no such thing as moral victories. We know that. We're not I'm not into that at all. But I am into being able to live with certain kinds of results based on our effort and based on our energy and our toughness. We had that tonight in a very hostile environment.
Well, and Ted, when you look at the stat sheet here, I mean, everything, you won the rebounding battle, you shot over 50%. It came down to free throws.
Came down to free throws. They shot 22 out of 23. We shot 5 out of 8, and that was a ball game. I mean, obviously, we got to learn to keep them off the line. We got to figure out how to get to the line. A very physical game on both ends, and a little frustrating there. But you know what? You're on the road, and that's you have to overcome those things. And That's just the way it is. But that way, you look at the stat sheet. You're right. 22-5. That's it's a 17-point differential.
In the first half, we were talking at the break. The defense was fantastic on both ends. Really.
Yeah.
In the second half, was it great offense by both teams, or lack
it
of
was,
defense?
Well, a little bit of both. I thought our zone got soft there, like it did against Washington in the second half. But a lot of it was good offense. I thought both teams offensively played very, very well. We know how good they are, the weapons they have. But our guys really, really played well offensively too. And, again, I look at that first few minutes of the second half, and we had turnovers. We had a bad shot that was blocked. We had and we didn't get any stops. At one point, I think it was a second media timeout, they were shooting 88% from the field. I mean, we could not – we were taking the ball out of the net every single time. And so we have to get better in that regard.
You know, in that stretch, and DeAndre Ayton is such a physical specimen, but Dusan Ristić was huge during
that stretch. Yeah, he's big-time player. I said that in the pregame, Mark. I said everybody talks about Trier and Ayton, and rightfully so. Those are two really good players. But the guy that is just the silent assassin for them is Dusan Ristić. What, 7-for-8 from the from the field? And he doesn't miss easy. He doesn't miss shots. And look, that was anybody's game down the stretch. I mean, Alonzo Trier hits a unbelievable three.
And Cartwright even more so.
With McKinley Wright. I mean, McKinley played great defense on Alonzo Trier. And I thought Parker Jackson Cartwright from three steps beyond the late in the clock. I mean, he was well guarded as well. They had to make two big-time threes to beat us. And so it says something about our guys and says something about our toughness. I've said this from our Italy trip. I love the fight. I love the resolve of this group, and a lot of it starts with that number 25 we got. But I thought Tyler Bay keeps getting better. Dallas, I thought, played well. Laz Nikolic played really good tonight, gave us some really good minutes there in the second half. So guys are getting better.
And George King played like a fifth-year senior tonight.
Oh, he played like a fifth-year senior tonight.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, George was terrific. So, again, there's some games you lose. Again, never happy with the result of losing. Our program is beyond that. But it's a little bit easier to swallow when you know you battled and they had to make tough shots to beat you.
Yep.
And, again, they get 22 free throws. We get five. You just got to move on.
That's
what we have to do. We have to play with the same kind of focus, energy, effort on Saturday against Arizona State as we did tonight. That's the challenge.
And a totally different creature on Saturday.
Totally different creature. Yeah, they don't have the monsters inside. They got a couple good, really good post players. But, man, their guards are good, and we're going to have to be on point on Saturday. So it doesn't get any easier in this league. You go on the road. You want to sweep. You shoot for a split. And the only way we get a split is winning on Saturday. So,
All right, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Tad Boyle, the Buffaloes fall at number 11, Arizona, 80-71 last night down in Tucson. Tomorrow will be in Tempe, Arizona. The Buffaloes will take on number 21, Arizona State. The Sun Devils coming off an overtime loss on Thursday night to Utah in Tempe. Our coverage gets underway on Saturday afternoon at 5:30 with Buffs Warm-Up presented by Safeway, followed by the tip-off between the Buffaloes and the Sun Devils at 6 o'clock. You know, a few days ago, we had a chance to catch up with Torrey Miller-Stewart, the senior for the Buffs, who broke his foot early in the season, started out his senior campaign, playing very well, but that went down to injury. And so he's got some decisions to make about where his career is going to go. Will he try and come back for another season? We recently caught up with the senior big man, and I told him at the top, I missed him. Don't see him around that much right now.
Yeah, man, it's been a minute. How you been? How was Christmas? How was New Year's? How's life?
Very nice. I know you hung out in Kansas City for quite a while.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Got to go home.
Get us up to date now. How you feeling? What's going on with the foot?
Well, technically I'm not supposed to be walking outside, but I am walking around in indoor confined spaces,
right,
as my doctor
all
said.
Right. Listen to the trainers.
Yeah, no, 100%. I start rehab next week, hopefully, get back in shape.
Yeah.
We started that, so I'm excited.
Is it sore at all at this point? Do you deal with much pain right now?
I mean, it has its days.
Yep.
Not really like terribly ongoing pain about sore or anything, but it has the days.
Take us back to when it happened. It was the most benign set of circumstances. You're at practice, rebounding drill. You just go after a ball. There was no contact. Kind of take us through the whole thing.
I don't know. Like you said, it was no contact. I thought initially one of my teammates had kicked me or something like that. That's what it felt like. It felt like a kick.
Yeah.
I just went down. So it was like December 1st I had surgery.
Right.
December 1st?
I think it was, yeah.
December 1st, I had surgery, and almost 2 months later, I'm almost ready to go. So.
I wasn't there for the surgery.
Yeah, you weren't. You weren't. You should have been, man. I was scared. It was cold. It was
a crazy deal, though. And so how tough has it been sitting out, not playing? I mean, here you are a senior, and you know the way that works. You get to your senior year. You're expecting big things. You want to have a great, successful campaign. And something silly like this happens. How are you dealing with that?
Well, you know, I just got to be positive towards the guys. I mean, it's good that the freshman getting an experience again. Like, Tyler's been killing it. Ken, obviously. Dom stepping up to the plate. Dallas Walton.
Yep.
Arizona game. My goodness.
How about the big fella?
Yeah, man. I mean, I taught him everything to know first and foremost. I want that to be known.
Of course you did.
But, I'm proud of how much he's come along, how much he's developed as far as, like, a player and a person maturity-wise, on the court, off the court. I think he's done a great job.
I know you've got decisions to make in terms of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, not that we ask you to bare your soul here on the show, but we're friends, you know that.
Yeah.
So, what's kind of the thought process? What are all the things you're considering about whether you come back for another year or whether this is it?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to look at, like, you got three options.
That'd be McKinley
Wright. Shout out.
No, I mean, you got to look at, like, you got options, you know. The ball's kind of in your court, you know. Right. I mean, obviously no one saw this coming, so it's hard to make a decision, especially after being with this fan base for so long. And, you know, the only thing I'm really worried about right now is getting healthy. I haven't even thought about making a decision yet.
Yeah. So. And I know Tad's the kind of coach, too, where he sits down and wants to, you know, be part of the process with you.
Yeah.
But has said many times, openly, publicly, I think, on the record, that, you know, it's going to be your decision ultimately.
Right. And Coach Boyle's done a great job of being, like, very open about the whole decision and whatnot, process of this whole thing. Like I said, no one really saw it coming. So he's been real honest with me, real straightforward about what my options was. Like, he wanted me back, you know, all these other things going on. But like I said, I haven't really made a decision or thought about it. I'm just trying to get healthy right now and get back to playing.
Have you been doing any coaching?
I have. Dom heard me last game say some words I can't repeat on TV, as well as Ken, I think.
Yeah.
Tyler had a couple. But, no, me and Evan down there holding down the south end of the bench, as we call it, making sure that everybody's on point doing their job at the south end.
You see how tough it is to coach when those darn players will never listen to what the coach is saying.
I'm about to say rebound, defend, box out, sprint the floor, post up, act like you want not.
And they don't do it.
They don't do it. And it's frustrating, so I understand where Coach Wells come from now.
Hey, we mentioned Dallas Walton. Big D's coming around. I mean, whatever you're doing with him, keep it up.
I'm about to say every day I got him in the gym. Every day I got him in the gym, Buff fans. Don't worry about that.
Hey, give us a thought or two about some of the young fellas. Now that you're an analyst for us here on the program,
big time.
How about McKinley Wright?
McKinley Wright. There's not much you can say about him except for wow.
Yeah.
So he's a great player. You know, Dow's been doing a good job with him, mentoring him. Yep. But like I said, that boy can play all by himself. And
Tyler Bay, even though he's a little bit undersized, he's got such great length, has been doing great inside.
The athleticism makes up for that size.
Yeah, it does.
Have you seen, you saw that jam in UCLA, right?
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, so I'm about to say,
you taught him that one too, didn't
you? Yeah, that was the first thing I taught him, was how to dunk and scream. Everybody knows that's my color. But he's been a real great asset for us. The whole freshman class has, really. They all stepped up.
Yeah, these guys are coming around playing some pretty good basketball right now.
Yeah.
How tough mentally, though, is it to sit out and kind of watch?
Mentally, it's probably one of the tougher things I had to do. You know, mental toughness, coach always says it's 4-1. Mental is physical, 4-1. Obviously, there's a physical part about this, but psychological part is the toughest part. Knowing that you could have been a part of something, Arizona State wins. That's hard to swallow, but I'm happy for the guys more than anything. I'm team first always.
Well, you can come back anytime.
Anytime.
Come on, hang out with me.
Hey, man, I'll be
there. We'll kick Wilkie off the radio broadcast.
Matter of fact, I want to be on the bench tonight. I'll come sit by you.
I like it.
Always good to catch up with Torrey Miller-Stewart, one of my favorites for the Buffaloes. He's coming off the injury, got a lot of decisions to make as to where his career is going to go down the stretch. Don't forget, Buffs basketball coming up tomorrow in Tempe, Arizona. The Buffaloes and the Sun Devils, number 21 in the land. Our coverage again gets underway at 5:30 with Buffs warm-up presented by Safeway, followed by the tip-off between Colorado and Arizona State at 6 o'clock. I'm Voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us this week on the Buffs Insider.